Well, this morning has been very different, yes? And I think it's going to be quite interesting to see how the Lord sort of takes the scriptures that I prepared and maybe some other ones that are not so prepared and blends it in together this morning of how he has ministered to each of our hearts and how he's ministered to the ones on my left and those all the way on my right, and just to see how the Lord has spoken to you. So how do we respond? How do we grasp hold of that which the Spirit has been dealing within our hearts this morning? Because some of it is hidden. Some of it we don't see. Some of it we just don't see because it's in you. But the Lord is ministering to you in your hearts, in your minds, and in some of the respects, the difficulties that you've been going through. And sometimes we often have these moments where the Lord really speaks into our heart. And I think this morning we're going to just read a few scriptures, and I'm hoping that as I read through the scriptures, we'll be able to come to a conclusion this morning. And I think it's one of those verses that I want to just read through this morning. And I want you to perhaps picture it as a time where I'm going to read from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 6. And it really comes at a point where Isaiah probably had gone into the temple courts many, many, many times, and he'd seen all the priests doing all their functions and doing all their actions within the temple. But as we start in chapter 6, thanks, Stefani. If we start in chapter 6, we see there is specifically a point in time, and we know that it's 600-700 years or so before the birth of Jesus, and we know that King Uzziah was perhaps a good king in some of the teachings that we've heard about him and how we've learnt about him through history. But it's in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings, with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having all in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." Those words, "Here I am, send me," perhaps will be reverberating in perhaps our minds this morning about how the Lord has ministered to you this morning and how he has gone through those areas of your life that he has touched so vividly this morning. Great times of worship. And I know through some of the communities during the week, a particular scripture verse was sent out. It was Zephaniah 3, verse 17, where it said, "The Lord is with you. He is mighty to save, and he will take great delight in you, and he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." And I feel this morning that perhaps, even though we aren't perhaps aware of the picture of Isaiah had in the temple, seeing the Lord raised up. But we need to get to that point through worship. Let's worship that we have drawn ourselves closer and closer to the Lord this morning. And I believe if we think of Paul and Silas in a dungeon cell, and they began singing, and they were really singing, and the Lord heard their worship, and he came closer to them. And as he came closer, you could just imagine him clapping and stamping his feet. And as we read, At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Hallelujah. What about this morning? The worship. Have your chains been broken? Have you been released? No. I can see in your faces. There are moments. There are moments. There are moments in your life right now, here in this moment, where you need that second chance. You need that second chance because you've missed it this morning. You feel deep in your heart you've missed it. You've missed it because the Lord was there. There he was, as Isaiah saw him, raised up high, seated on his throne. His train of his robe filled the temple. Did you see it in worship this morning? Did you feel it? Did you feel the burning coals on your lips? Did you feel it saying, your sins are forgiven? Did you feel it when you prayed? You prayed this morning, the disciples' prayer. Did you really come to that moment this morning and say it with meaning this morning? Were you beyond the veil? How many times had Isaiah gone into that temple and seen the smoke and the incense from the priests and all the things that had been going on before? But how many times did he see? Only once. When the year King Uzziah died. Perhaps in your life this morning, you still need the king of your life to die. So who is the king of your life this morning? Self. Perhaps your King Uzziah needs to still die. Perhaps you didn't get into that place in worship this morning, beyond the veil, beyond the smoke. Yes, it was great for Chris to sing and lead us in worship and the group. But were we singing because they were singing? Or were we singing worship to the Lord from our heart? From the prayer that we offered first this morning. Our sins have been forgiven. Did we offer that to the Father this morning? Or did we just sing it or say it by rote? Where did we come to this morning in this worship, this time of worship? How are we responding? How are we coming to that point and saying, Lord, I missed the boat. I missed the mark. I didn't see you this morning with your high and lifted up, and the train filled the temple of our hearts. Was he filling your hearts this morning? Sorry, I'm going to have to. So where do we come to? Where did we not see the Lord this morning? Where did we not see him in that time of worship? Was he playing like children and a father, playing with his grandchildren or his children, hide and seek? You know, when you, as a father, I mean, I can only say it as a father, I can't say it as a mother, obviously. But when you play with your children, hide and seek, isn't it fun to run around the home while they're counting, one, two, three, four, and you run around the home and you have little hidey holes where you've played the game before. You love to just hide. The cupboard under the stairs. Or perhaps if the curtains were a bit longer, you'd be able to hide behind the curtains because there you could hide. And then as the children get to 10 or to 20 or whatever you've agreed upon in your family, and the children come running around. And it's not the excitement of not finding you. It's actually the excitement of finding you. So there is a certain point in your life where you perhaps stand, and I'm sorry the curtains aren't a bit longer, but that's not a criticism, by the way. The curtains are a bit longer. And there, you've put your foot just below just outside of the curtain. So the child can run around, Daddy, I find you! But the excitement is as you embrace your child, you embrace the child out of that hidden spot, out of that hidden spot of the beyond the veil. Were you there this morning? Or did you miss it this morning? Are you still in this side of the veil? the incense, the smoke, the activities in the front, the singing. Oh, Chris chose a good song. Great, I'll sing. Or were you like Paul and Silas? Let's sing no matter what my chain is. Let the God of the whole prison be worshipped. Let him hear and cause the earthquake, that earthquake to break open the veil in your hearts this morning. Were you there this morning when the seraphim were flying? Were you there this morning when his train filled the temple? A little bit further on in Isaiah, he writes these words. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. That's telling me, and it should be also a beckoning sign for you and as well, that there's coming a time when he won't be near. There will be a time when that door will be closed. Revelation proclaims. So it's not something that I'm saying. So, we read another scripture in 1 Samuel. I didn't give it to you, Stephanie, so don't worry. One day, a young named Samuel was searching for God. Just like I'm hoping and praying that we were searching for him this morning through our worship, through our disciples' prayer this morning. Did we find the Lord? Samuel got real close to God where God was hiding. And if you remember the story in 1 Samuel chapter 3, let me try and find it again. Chapter 3, the call of Samuel. I need some light. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord with the ark, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here I am." But Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go lie down again. Go to sleep." I'm just pre-saying it a bit, okay? And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And again he replied, "I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Perhaps this morning, in our worship, in our time of going beyond the veil in that time of worship, was it a point where the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to you, having given your heart to Jesus at that moment, at this time? And yet the Lord called to Samuel again, the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli understood, he perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" Sorry. So Samuel went down and lay down again in his place. And the Lord came again and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel responds, "Speak, for your servant hears." Are we at that point this morning where we can stand like Samuel? And we're in that time of worship beyond the veil. Are we in that moment of saying, "Here I am," as Isaiah, or as Samuel, "Speak to me, Lord"? I believe the Lord has spoken to many of you here this morning. I believe there is a revealing of himself to you as you got beyond the veil in worship. Maybe it was for the first time. Maybe it was not for the first time. Maybe you've felt like it before. I know for myself, and I know many of you have heard my testimony, where my healing of my heart and my colon cancer and my life with children and going through COVID and feeling really depressed over the last year in different ways and just small little portions. I was feeling those moments of wanting to get beyond the veil. And it's in those times of going beyond the veil in worship, whether it's been at home on a cold, wet day, being told that you have something wrong with you, and you just put on worship songs. That's where you find the peace. That's where God's word is revealed to you at that moment, that very, very moment. Now, if we have time, I just want to give you a glimpse of something that I read during the last week or two. And it's called being given a second chance. And I'm sure most of you will remember the story. And the man who was one of the miners who was in northern Chile when the San Jose copper mine collapsed. It was about August 2010 or so. And for 17 days, all rescue attempts had failed. There was no sign of life in the copper mine, yet after so many days, 33 miners, a drill shaft had broken through to where they had congregated in this broken mine shaft, and a drill had come through, and the miners were able to hammer it and bang it and spray paint on it and stick little messages onto it, but only one of those messages came through those meters and meters of the rock that lay above them. The message simply said, "We're fine, the 33 in the shelter." In total, the men survived a record 69 days underground before they were brought to the surface. And more than a billion people or so watched it on TV. I'm proud to say that I was one of them praying for them. And they were extraordinary scenes when everybody celebrated that victory. The picture that I'm seeing this morning is that many of us, no matter what the circumstances have been, whether it's your addiction, maybe it's the way you've got broken family relationships, or maybe it's the way you are, your makeup, your tradition, your culture, the way you have broken through into different areas in your life, your problems with marriage, perhaps not after the marriage enrichment, but maybe it's the broken relationship with fathers, mothers, children even, and how it is restored. Jesus gives to us a second chance, like he gave those miners. Those miners were in a deep hole. They were in complete darkness except for some little glow lamps that they had. They had very little food for those first few days until the mine drill had come through. But what I'm trying to picture is, where are you this morning? Are you still wallowing in that cavern of darkness? Or have you broken through the veil? Have you broken through the veil so that Jesus can come in and give you a second chance? And if you permit me to just read through the other two scriptures that I wanted to read this morning. The first one is from John chapter 8. And it's really, it highlights being given a second chance. Don't worry about it, hon. The woman was caught in adultery, and they went to each of his own house. Is that where it started? John 8. Am I on the right page? Then they went each to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came up again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in an act of adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery, and the law," and I'm just going to pre-say, you can all read your hearts, "the law of Moses said that that woman had to be stoned to death." But Jesus comes and speaks, and they continue to ask him, and he stood up and said, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." That's the picture of coming out of that dark precipice, that dark cavern, standing before the Lord to sin no more. Where are we at that point in our lives this morning? We all said the disciples' prayer. Where are we with standing before the Lord and saying, "I won't sin again"? In response, I just want us to think or know the picture of the Sunday school story about Jesus healing the guy with palsy or as a paralytic. And you know the story where the four guys came together and they knew that Jesus was in the room below and they took the roof away. Now, in our response, are we not wanting everyone that we know to know Jesus? Are we not standing here or sitting this morning? Are we not praising him and knowing where he is this morning in our hearts? But sometimes we hear Jesus with a muffled voice. And that muffled voice is because he's down in the room below. But we are bringing someone, our family, our friends, those people that I've just mentioned, our children, our mothers, our fathers, those that we have a broken relationship with. We're bringing them like this, the four men were bringing that paralytic into Jesus. They had known that Jesus could heal. They had met Jesus before. They knew the power of Jesus. They knew the power of the Holy Spirit. And they were there wanting their friend to go and come to Jesus. But they still had to break through the roof. Now, for all of us, that breaking that roof could have been something like tradition. It could have been culture. It could have been something in your heart where you've held an unforgiving spirit to your father, your mother. No matter what it has been, there is something that we still need to do to bring our friends below to Jesus in that room where he may heal. And I'm sure everyone on our hearts wants our friends, our family to know Jesus. The end of this story. We read the story. They removed the roof above him, and when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, in the relationship of those four people, in the story that, and the only story that we have for it, there is no story mentions of their name, who they were. There's no mention of those four people. But I want to give them a name this morning. The first friend who saw his friend in need, the paralytic, he needed to come to Jesus. I want to give that man the name Compassion. This friend had seen his friend in need. But he also knew Jesus could help him get better. And so he held the one corner of the blanket to lower his friend down. The person, the paralytic, didn't know how. He was full of the palsy. He couldn't stand up and walk in and introduce himself to Jesus. He was bound. Our friend that we're trying to bring to Jesus is bound. But we don't want to be critical of that situation. We don't want to put any judgment on the man who's paralytic or your friend who needs the Lord. Our friend number two is called Faith. Like Peter and John, they had nothing to give him. And we sang this morning, "Silver or Gold." To the lame man laying at the gate, what had they to give but only Jesus? So in faith, the kind of faith are those who believe. And you and I are one of the four. The third friend is determination or will. They were in no doubt tired of carrying their friend around and dragging him to different places, but they pressed on. That determination to drive back the doubt. He's always been like that. Never, don't worry about him. No, I want him to see Jesus. Do we still have that same passion to bring our friend there? And our friend number four is love. God's love is not a pampering love. It's a perfecting love. He wants the person to be healed. He wants him to be perfected, to be given a second chance, to be built up and to be strong. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I want those type of four friends that when I am down, when I hear the muffled voice of Jesus and I can't hear him, I want those four friends to bring me down into where Jesus is, to give me that healing, to give me that ability to know him more. If we think of those four people, and I'm going to use perhaps the a person we'll say was kind of just laying there. If the one person of love, he couldn't go down and drop that person down through the hole to Jesus. The one of faith on his own couldn't drop the person down to Jesus. But the four together, they had the strength, they had the passion, they had the, yes, standing behind the veil or above the veil, through the veil in worship, taking the heart's desire of God that all will come to know Jesus as their living Savior. This morning, in our response perhaps to the message of this morning, from John's leading us through the prayer, through the time of worship, through the hearing of the church in action, how are we responding this morning? Where are we in this place this morning? Have we worshipped and got beyond the veil? Or are we in this place of that mist and the smoke and the actions of the church? Or are we willing to be one of the four to bring a friend, your wife, your husband, to Jesus this morning? Are you there wanting to bring more than just your family, your friends, the wider congregation or community of George to know Jesus? Can we come together as a church? Perhaps we have faith, we have love, we have determination, and we have love. But are we coming together to do that? Are we willing to do that this morning, church? Are we wanting to respond as Isaiah did? Here I am, Lord, send me. Let's pray. Father, this morning it has been something different, Lord, in the way in which you speak to us. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we rub shoulders with one another, Lord, as iron sharpens iron, there you will be, to give to us that inspiration, Lord, that passion, to want to draw more people in to hear you, to feel your healing touch, to lift you up in that place of worship, singing hallelujahs, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Oh Lord, we have a hunger, we have a desire to do that, Lord, but in worship, worship brings us into a place where we have passion. It brings us into that place of your divine love. It brings us into that determination, Lord, to not see anyone who suffers or stands in a cavern. Help us, Lord, to have that second chance of bringing our family, bringing our loved ones into a knowing relationship to you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we give you praise, Lord. We give you glory for this morning. As we come into this place this morning as well, that I'm so aware that people are perhaps still in that dark cavern. And perhaps you do have that feeling of standing on the dark side of the veil. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will release people, Lord, from those caverns. That as they, in their hearts and in the quietness of their minds, Lord, that you will indeed just minister to them. They haven't missed the boat, Lord, because you are giving to each and every one of us a second chance. Thank you, Lord, that you say simply to us, go and sin no more. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that our response this morning is, here I am, Lord, send me. You are speaking to us, Lord. I'm so aware as well, Lord, that even in this service, there are people who have never given their hearts to Jesus. They've never stood beyond the veil to know you. I pray, Lord, this morning that if you have been touched by the Lord for the first time, that you'll raise your hand or you'll stand, if you're brave enough to stand and say, "Here I am, Jesus. Speak to me. Give to me a new heart. Give to me a new